All right, so how many of you that have kids out there know that when you're trying to explain time and how time works to kids, sometimes you gotta use some different ways of explaining it, right? Like, you can't just say it's gonna take 30 minutes or 60 minutes and they're like, what's that, right? You gotta say it's like 4 Bluey episodes or whatever you like to watch or however it is, right? You gotta explain time a little bit differently to children. And time is something that's hard for us to understand as children, but as you get older, it just seems like time goes faster and faster. And just this idea of eternity, of a time that never ends, man, that is hard to wrap our heads around, isn't it? And the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at, last week and then this week, we're just doing this short 2-week series on eternity, on thinking about what happens in eternity. And scripture in Ecclesiastes tells us that God put eternity into our hearts. It says he made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Right, so there's this idea there that God's put eternity into all of our hearts, that we all deep down understand that we're eternal beings. All of us will live forever somewhere, which is hard to wrap our mind around. Something it's hard to grasp, but it's true. We just know it, feel it deep down. At the same time, it's hard for us to really wrap our mind around it, right? Because it says, so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. So we can't fully grasp it, but we know that there's something out there for eternity. And so last week, just to quickly recap a little bit where we were last Sunday, we looked at the story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 25 about sheep and goats. And he talked about this final judgment, this time when he's going to separate or divide out the sheep from the goats. And he used these two animals as pictures, because sheep are animals who are dependent on their shepherd. They listen to the shepherd's voice and they follow the shepherd wherever he goes, right? So throughout scripture, sheep is used to describe people who are dependent upon God, who listen to God and who follow Jesus and what he says. Whereas a goat is a little bit more stubborn and independent and just like not as needy, right? And so goats are representing people who don't need God. They're independent from God. They have no need for him. They don't follow him, right? And so goats are the opposite of a sheep. And he says, like we looked at last week, everybody is either a sheep or a goat. At the end of time, God will separate out all people. They're either going to be a sheep or a goat. There's no in between. There's no mix. There's no like, well, I kind of followed Jesus and I kind of didn't. Okay, at the end of time, sheep and goats. And so we looked at last week how there are two destinations, ultimately eternal destinations. Everyone will live forever somewhere. And we looked at how he said the goats will go to eternal punishment and the sheep to eternal life. Just a real quick recap of what last week was about. Go back and listen to the whole message if you didn't hear it, just to help it make sense. But he says at the end of the story, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. We looked at hell last week, okay? And we talked about what the Bible teaches that hell is, okay? And hell is taught in the scriptures that it's a real, eternal, conscious, meaning like that people know that they're there, dreadful place of judgment for two categories, for people who have rebelled against God, which is all of us, and rejected Jesus Christ, which is some of us, okay? So the whole, that's the gist of what hell is. So that's the bad news, right? The bad news is that there's a real hell. The good news is that Jesus has done something that has saved us all from that punishment if we accept him, if we trust in him. Okay, 2 Timothy, this is a great verse. 2 Timothy says, this is 1 Timothy, that's my bad. 1 Timothy 2 says that praying for all people is good, and it pleases God, our Savior, because he wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Okay, this verse shows God's heart, God's desire. Okay, it doesn't mean that everyone will be saved and know the truth in the end, but it shows what God wants. Like, God is not a God who wants everyone to be judged or wants people to go to hell. He's a God who wants people to accept him and receive Christ and be saved. He wants that. He desires that for all of us. So last week, this is kind of just a week recap, right? We looked at how, hey, God wants you to be saved. He does not want hell for you. And so I just want to start today off with that. And so what we're going to be looking at today in Scripture, we're going to jump over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. If you have a Bible with you, you can go ahead and get it open to that book in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. So just to let you in on something, I was not going to preach on this today. I wasn't going to use this verse today. And then I was sitting over here this morning and I just kind of felt like we should use this verse. So I don't know if that's God or what that is, but I think that just to let you in on that, I think there's something here for us today is what I'm saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 10. So as you're turning there, we're going to look at, this verse is going to talk about tents and homes. And I know Heidi and I have been camping all weekend. I know some other people are camping this weekend, so apparently Labor Day is a good day, good weekend to do that. And so we're going to be looking at that idea of a tent. And as you know, if you've ever camped, tent is a little less strong than your house or than a camper. And it's a little bit more, you know, risky to sleep in a tent than it is to sleep in a house. So let's look at that in mind. Let's look at chapter 5. Read verse 1. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And so Paul is equating our bodies in this text, our current bodies, to tents. Our bodies now are like a tent in the wilderness, right? It's not like a house that's sturdy and upholds well, right? And the older that you get, I'm sure that you realize that more and more. You get that tent feeling, right? Just bones start to ache, right? Things don't work like they used to work. You start to realize, man, this tent, this body is not going to last forever. It's not going to last forever, right? We know that deep down. And so he says, though, that if our tent is destroyed, meaning if we die in this body, we have a building from God, not a tent, but a building and a house made with hands, and it's eternal in the heavens. And so what he's pointing to there is a future glorified body. Okay, so the Bible talks about how our bodies now are not glorified. This is our earthly body. This is a body that can decay and die and get diseases and have all kinds of horrible things happen to it. But for all those who believe in Christ, some future day, they will receive at the resurrection of after the 1,000 years and at the resurrection of the of all people, they will receive a glorified body, one that's perfect, one that can't decay, one that can get no diseases. And that's what he's saying here. That glorified future body is going to be like this building, whereas our bodies now are like a flimsy tent that gets blown around in the wind, all that kind of stuff. All right, so then verse 2, look at verse 2 with me. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on we may be found, we may not be found naked. All right, so what's he saying here? Like, first of all, we groan in this tent. This tent, this earthly body, we all groan, not just because of our physical bodies and like how they can decay, but just the effect that this world, this fallen world that we live in, has on our bodies and has on who we are, right? So we groan and we long to put on our heavenly dwelling. Deep down, we know that that will be better than this place. But then he says something a little weird, right? If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. Okay, that's a little strange to read in the Bible, right? Why is he saying that? Here's what he's saying. If we die someday and we don't have Jesus in our life, we're not clothed with Christ, that's what it means to be found naked. Like when you die in this body and you don't have Jesus in your life, it's kind of like you're naked underneath, right? Whereas if you die and you're really clothed underneath in your heart, you have Jesus in your heart, you're clothed with Christ, like Scripture says, when you die, you're not found naked, you're found clothed with Christ. But if you are not really following Christ, you don't really have Christ, when you die, and the external, all the things we see are taken away, and what's deep down is shown, you're kind of like naked. You're not with Christ, okay? And so What he's talking about here is saying that all those who know, truly know Christ, who are truly clothed with Christ and are truly following him, have given their life to him and are being transformed by him into his character, are going to be clothed on that day. They're going to receive this new body. They're going to have this eternal life. And so the first point I want to make just out of this is that eternal life is for Jesus followers. It's for Jesus. It's for people who are truly following Christ or saved by him. Now, we touched on this last week. I think it's worth going back to one more time because it's so important. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10 tells us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Okay, so important, right? This is how you get to heaven, right? There's nobody who's going to get to heaven and say, "But I did it because I was awesome." Not how it works, right? By grace, meaning totally unearned by us, you've been saved through faith. Okay, faith is not about what we do. Faith is not about our works. It's about trust. It's about in the heart, we trust God. We trust Jesus and what he did for us more than we trust what we can do for him. Okay, so that's faith. And he says, this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. It's nothing we did, not a result of our works, so that no one may boast. Now, at the same time, we are called to do things like our faith will lead us to those good works. Because in the next verse, it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Okay, so it's not like we're just saved by faith and then because we're saved by faith, we don't do anything good for God or anything like that, right? We're saved by faith. But then we're saved to do things, right? To do good works. We're not saved because of our good works. We're saved to do good works. And so this is just really important to keep in mind. Like, how does somebody get to heaven in the first place? How is somebody saved according to the Bible? According to the Bible, we're saved when we put our faith and trust in Christ. And that faith and trust in Christ leads us to transformation, leads us to live like he wants us to live. So back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, looking at verse 4. "For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." That is such a cool verse, right? Because think about that for a second. What is mortal, what is earthly, will be swallowed up by life. And that's going to happen someday when we die as believers. When we die, this mortal fleshly body will be swallowed up by eternal life. I think that picture is so cool. That word actually here in the Bible for swallowed up, same word from the story you probably have heard of, Jonah, right? You've heard Jonah and the giant fish that swallows him up in the Old Testament. It's literally the same word being used here. So it's like this picture of something really small being swallowed up by something really big. So the picture is like our life here is pretty small compared to eternity, right? And so when we die, it's like our life is being swallowed up. Our little life here is being swallowed up by something better and something more glorious, something that's going to be way better than this. Then in verse 5, "He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So, verse 6, we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight." Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So he's describing here what it looks like to live and to die. He says, when we're living in this world, we're actually away from the Lord. We're at home in this body, but we're away from the Lord. And he says he would rather be away from this body and at home with the Lord. So to die is to go and to be with the Lord. Okay, that's what heaven, that's what eternal life is about. It's about being with the Lord, where he has promised that he's going to go before us and make this place for us. And this is actually out of John 14, Jesus telling his disciples and through that to us. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Okay, believe in God," or trust in God. "Trust, believe also in me. And in my Father's house, there are many rooms. Okay, if it were not so, would I have not told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be also." So that's just such a cool thing, right? That Jesus is preparing heaven for us, and there's lots of rooms there. Like, it's not like there's only 144,000 or whatever. There's not the specific. There's plenty of room there for all who would trust in him. And the cool thing about this is he's saying, this is where I'm going. I'm going to prepare it for you, and I'm going to bring you to it so that you can be with me also. Okay, and here's the thing about when we talk about heaven, right? We talk about eternal life. I think a lot of people just get their idea of heaven from the culture around them. It's very easy to do, right? And one of the big things you see in the culture around us is basically that heaven is just kind of what happens after you die and where you go to enjoy all the bad things that you weren't supposed to do here. Like, you just kind of get to do all of them then, or you just kind of let loose, and there's just you just get to do all the stuff that you wanted to do here, but you couldn't. Okay, and that's not really, we know that's not what heaven's about. Okay, it's not about where you go or what you get to do. It's about who is there with you. Okay, heaven is heaven, not because of all the awesome things that are there. It's heaven because Jesus is there. Okay, it's kind of a tough question to ask ourselves, but would you want to go to heaven if you got to heaven and found out Jesus wasn't there? Okay, do you just kind of a weird question to ask, right? But if you get what I'm saying, you kind of get, okay, this is why heaven is good, because Jesus is there and we want to go be with him, not because of anything else. So the second point today is that heaven is good, eternal life is good because Jesus is there with us. Okay, and then let's look at verse 9 and 10 to close out this section. So whether we are at home or away, meaning whether we die or live, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Okay, so he's saying it doesn't matter what happens to our bodies or where we're at, whether we live or die. He's saying it matters whether we're pleasing God. He says either way, we can make pleasing God our main goal. Whether we are at home with him or we're away in this body, we should make it our aim to please God. Okay, this reminds me of Matthew chapter 6, which I don't have on there. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 tells us that it's the Lord's Prayer. And he says to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And think about what it means to pray that for a second. Your will be done, God, on earth as it is in heaven. So he's telling us to pray for this experience of our earth now to be like what it's like in heaven. And what it's like in heaven is a place where God's will always happens. And one way to challenge yourself with that verse is to kind of think about, okay, like, if am I really living out that verse? Could I say that I'm praying, God, your will be done in my house as it is in heaven? God, your will be done in this church as it is in heaven. God, your will be done in this place that I work. You just fill in your workplace, fill in your group of friends. Your will be done in my group of friends as it is in heaven. Okay, think about that. He's saying your will, that God's will can be done on earth as it is in heaven if we make that choice to make it our goal to please him. And so heaven is less about a place that we get to go to when we die. Like, it is a place that we go to when we die, if we trust Christ. But it's also about the way that we live and the way that we relate to God. It's about the way we relate to him. So just want to touch on this last verse again, verse 10. Because what does that mean? Verse 10, it says, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Okay, so one thing we need to know about this verse is not talking about like judgment, heaven, or hell. Okay, that happens before this verse. Like, you are either a sheep or a goat by the way that you either say yes to Jesus or no to Jesus. Okay, but this verse is talking for Christians, all believers who are going to someday come before this judgment seat of Christ. Okay, this word in Greek is the bema seat. It actually, for judgment, it actually was like a platform that the judges of athletic games, like Olympic games, would stand on and kind of judge who won the games. That's kind of the idea, the picture here. So it's not like judging who's going to go to heaven or hell. It's judging Christians for the work that they did on this earth and for the way that they lived their life and what they did good and what they did bad. Okay, and the point here that I just want us to see is that what we do now matters for eternity. Okay, what we do now, whether good or bad, matters for eternity. All of us are going to have to stand before Jesus someday, not as a like hell or heaven, but as a, hey, what did you do with the life that you have? Okay, scripture says we're gonna be held accountable by God, by Jesus. Okay, we're gonna have to stand before him and he's gonna say, like, hey, Dan, like you did this one really poorly. Like you screwed up here, but you did good here. Like, and I think you're gonna go through it. Like, and here's what you did well, here's what you didn't do well, and it's gonna matter. It's gonna make a difference. And it doesn't gonna matter for if we go to heaven or hell, but it's gonna matter in eternity. I don't know about you, but I kinda like would like that to be a good time more than a bad time, right? And so I think we just get this idea when we think about heaven and eternity, right? And especially as people who believe that we're saved by grace through faith, which we do, we can get this idea like, well, like it doesn't really matter like what happens here in this life. I'm just ready to go to heaven and just this life, just like flush it away. Like, and as I talk to people, especially older people, as a chaplain, I get that kind of feeling a lot. Like they're just saying like, they're just done with this life and they're just like ready to go to heaven, which is great. But the point that here, like it matters what we do here. Okay. Even if you're older, it matters what you do here, and eternity is going to not just wipe everything away that we do here. It's gonna matter. It's gonna come back, and we're gonna have to answer to Jesus for all that we do in eternity. So the third point and the last one is this: eternity is impacted by the choices that we make every day. Not in the sense of like we're gonna go to heaven or hell by the choices that we make every day, but in the sense of we're gonna have to answer to Jesus for all the things that we do in this life, good or bad. And so we didn't really touch a lot on actually, like, what is heaven? Okay, this is what eternal life is about, but what about heaven itself? So first of all, I want us to know and just realize that when we die, as believers, we're going to be with Jesus right away. Okay, and Jesus tells the thief on the cross in Luke 23, today you will be with me in paradise. Okay, and so what happens when we die is that our soul, our spirit, goes immediately to be with Jesus. Our body in this life, our physical body, goes in the ground or goes wherever it goes and is not yet with Jesus. Okay, but someday after Jesus returns and after the 1,000-year reign of Christ, our bodies are going to be reunited with our spirit, our soul, and we're going to have a glorified body. And at that time, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Okay, so heaven now, like when people die now, they don't go to the final heaven. It's something that a lot of people don't understand the Bible, okay? When people die now, they go to a temporary paradise with Jesus, their soul or their spirit, not their actual body. But someday in the future, all of those who trust Christ, their bodies are going to be reunited with their spirit, and they're going to go to this new heaven and new earth, which is described in Revelation chapter 21 at the end of the Bible. And let's just read it so we get a picture of what that's going to be like, okay? So it says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Just think about all the crying and the mourning, the pain of this life. All that will be gone. Okay, when we get to heaven someday and we're with Jesus in the new heavens and the new earth, there'll be no more pain, no more mourning, no more sin, no more sadness. Only joy with God, and we'll be with him and he will be with us. And that is what's so good about this promise of heaven. as we close here today, I just want to address, like, I know that sometimes it can be scary, right? It can be a little bit, if we're honest, I think we can be a little bit fearful when it comes to dying and whatever happens after that. Like, I know that I am. I'm not ashamed to say that, like, yeah, it's causes a little fear, like at least the fear of the unknown, right? I've never died before, so I don't know what's going to happen. And so there's that fear inside of us of what happens when we die. And I just want to tell you this quick story about that helped me think about this week. It was actually last Saturday. I was down at camp and I was getting our sound equipment to bring it back here for church. And it was dark out and I had parked my truck like right in front of the barn because I was going to get something out of it. And I was in front of the lights, the headlights were on, and the barn was in front of me. And I saw this shadow on the barn and like flapping its wings. Okay. And it was like, the shadow was like this big. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like that, I'm going to die. Right. Like this, what is this thing? This flying behind me, like with these big, like kind of like a square type thing, these big wings. Like this is the moment I'm going to get swallowed up by a bat or something. Right. And so I turned, like, now you guys are all going to think I'm a wimp. Okay. That's okay. Cause this is I'm trying to make a point. Okay. So I turn around and I realize, like, okay, like there's moths like flying in front of the lights, and the shadow looks bigger on the barn because the moths are, so it was like something this big that for a second I was scared of because the shadow looked bigger than the actual thing that was making the shadow. Right. Okay, so the point that I'm trying to make is shadows sometimes lie to us. Okay, shadows really aren't as scary as they can look sometimes. And the Bible describes death, or describes our experience here right now as walking through the shadow of death. Okay, Psalm 23, I'll put that up there. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Okay, so that's our experience now. We all walk through this valley. The death that we're going to die someday is kind of like this shadow that's cast over our life. And I think just like that moth example, it can look a lot bigger to us than it actually is, especially if we're a believer. Okay, if we're a believer, we can trust this promise that Jesus said that he has the power over death. Okay, he has the power over death. I won't read this whole thing, but it says, Jesus, by dying, could break the power of the devil who had the power over death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Okay, we don't have to live our life as followers of Christ as slaves to the fear of dying. We don't have to be afraid of that shadow because it's really not as big as it actually looks like it is. Because we know if we trust Christ, we will be with him at that moment that we take our last breath on this earth. We'll be with him forever and we'll be with him in this place of joy, this place of comfort, this place of being with him for all eternity. And so as we close today, I just want to encourage you with that. Okay. Don't be afraid. I know that we can have that fear, but ultimately don't let the fear win. Don't let the fear of death keep you back from living your life for Christ right now in this moment. So with that said, let's go ahead and pray together. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your word.